Drum roll, please. Welcome to the second hour of A Voice of a People. My name is Linda Sims, and you are listening to us on WGH Talk. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com, where you can also listen to the show live on the web. Okay, you can also download a free app on any electronic device, and it's called TuneIn, and it will be associated with the rest of your apps on your phones, cell phones, laptops, computers, iPhones, anything, Chromebooks, whatever you may have as a electronic device. Okay, and once you do that, please search WWGH and take advantage of the many talk show programs we have to offer you. Or you can call in during a live broadcast at any time that we are live by calling 740-383-9944. I need to share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515. Or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce, every third Saturday of every month. This one will take place November the 19th from 12 noon until 2 p.m. They also have another announcement. They will be having a drive-through, pick up your Thanksgiving Eve dinners at Logos Christian Ministries. This takes place on the 23rd. It begins at 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. So mark your calendar, share that information with others. Now, I think this dinner consists of turkey, dressing, green beans, mashed potatoes, and gravy, and a roll, I think, and a dessert.
Stop, you're making me hungry.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is coming. You know, people are buying their turkeys and getting their families invited and going through all that, you know, our rituals that we do for our holidays.
It's a good tradition.
Yes, it is a good tradition. We also have Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. Owner there is Cheryl Lee. Location is LaRue, Ohio. Phone there is 740-262-0939. Last but not least, Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street in Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-382-8552. And thank you for those of you who faithfully listen to A Voice of a People. Thank you for your support, and your time is much appreciated. And if it's your first time, I pray it's not your last time. And welcome to our show. I would like to give a shout out to Ed Pickett, who was hanging out with our crew here at WGH Talk last evening during our election coverage. Thank you for spending your time with us, and smooches to you. Now, I have a thought to share with each and every one of you, and it's called Treasure Every Moment. I told Jeff to listen to this thought for today. Treasure every moment that you have, and treasure it more because you shared it with someone special, special enough to spend your time with. Remember that time waits for no one. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow, a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it is called the present time. Because at the end of our last hour, Jeff was saying, I wish we could get this back and that back. No, we are moving forward with the flow of God. How are you doing this second hour, okay, Jeff Porter, author of Expressions of the Last Days? We want to continue lift up one another today, and we have been talking about the miracle of salvation.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, it's very easy to do the wrong thing when trying to lead somebody to Christ. You know, we get caught up in this self-righteous thing. Maybe my neighbor is a drug dealer, but that doesn't mean I'm supposed to treat him like, you know, the lower end of the dog doghouse or something, you know, might have an opportunity to witness to him at some time or other. Now, I'm not going to witness to a person like that unless the Holy Spirit opens the door. I'm not just going to go over there and start preaching at him, because that usually just puts people off. But, you know, it's not the good people. It's like Jesus was talking about how the good people think they're fine. They're all right with God. You know, they got a job, they got 2.3 kids and 2 cats in the yard, a dog, and they go camping on the weekends in the summer, and they think they're okay with God. But the evil, that they may or may not be right with God, you know, but they don't really question that much. I remember when I was really fanatical, I would talk to people and start talking about Christ, and you know, so many of them would say, I haven't even thought about anything like that lately. But the evil people, the people who are involved in crime and wrongdoing, stealing, cheating, drug dealing, whatever they're doing, they come, God may bring a convicting spirit on them, and they know they're messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And they know they need a Savior. And those are the people that, most of the time, the ones that really get saved. So, you know, the good people end up in hell, and the evil people end up in heaven, because God has forgiven them for much. You know, and the good people don't really appreciate what he did, you know, allowing evil men to drive rusty nails through his hands, you know, allowed the evil people to criticize him the whole time he was on earth, you know, follow him around and point the finger at him and accuse him because they wanted their authority, they wanted their money, you know. And we've got that today. If Jesus showed up today, it'd be the same thing, maybe even worse.
True.
Because we've got people today, especially in the churches, that are after that buck. You know, they want more bang for their buck more than they want God. God's not really kind of a byword to them. I mean, their agenda is they're attention seekers and they're money seekers. And they love that. They love to go home and lay on their luxurious couch and turn on their big widescreen TV and watch movies or whatever. They don't really want anything to do with God because God might deprive them of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, we as Christians have to realize that we have to go through the process of sanctification, which means that we may go through times of poverty. I mean, God is going to challenge us. He lets us go through difficult times so they could stretch our faith, you know, and that's something that they wouldn't even think of doing. But if you want to serve God, you're going to have to go through his training, which is not always very easy. So
you're right about that, Jeff. And when you started out talking, you mentioned witnessing to other people and not treating them like dogs or...
Yeah.
I want you to look up 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and read from the 9th through the 12th verse, because, you know, a lot of Christians feel that way, like sometimes, well, I'm saved, I'm not that person I used to be, and look at those people, what they're doing and how they're doing it, you know.
Yeah, Jesus said, you think those people over there are so evil and everything, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish.
Amen, amen.
What was that, chapter 9, 1 Corinthians?
1 Corinthians 6.
Now,
this is for all Christians and people who want to be saved. And once you are saved, keep this in mind and write the scripture down for future reference. It starts at verse 9, and I want you to read through verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6, starting at verse 9.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, or revilers, nor extortioners shall enter the kingdom of God. So what verse do you want me to stop at?
Read 11 and 12.
And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any.
Okay, so God is reminding us, because the Bible is to the church, the people who have saved, who have been saved by God's grace and mercy. He's saying, such were some of you. Where did I bring you from? Where were you at when I called you, when you finally answered my call?
Yes.
You know, it's not like God called one time and we answer. You know, when you finally decided to answer my call, where did I find you? Where did I, you know, he lifts us out of the miry clay. He lifts us out of our sin.
Oh,
and
we
our
forget
shame,
that.
And we forget that. You're so right. We forget that. But see, God does not forget where he brought you from.
Well, see, sometimes I get mad at this guy. He's a drug dealer and does weird things, you know, has people park in his yard and stuff. But he's a friendly guy.
Uh-huh.
He's a nice guy. I like talking to him and stuff. Well, for a while, I wouldn't talk to him because I just don't want any of that stuff rubbing off on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
But there was
right.
a day when the Lord spoke to my heart and said, go out and talk to this guy,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
So,
and God
I'm
says,
hoping that someday God will open the door.
Oh, he will. And you planted seeds. That's what you're supposed to do. Plant seeds. And, you know, every opportunity you
he
get.
He knows I'm a Christian.
Right. Just keep planting your seeds, you know, and God will increase those seeds. Someone else will come by and water it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But God gives the increase. So, and this is our testimony to other people when we're trying to bring them to Christ. Let them know where God brought us from. Because we're
yeah.
not perfect. We have not always been where we are right now.
Yeah.
You know, because God reminds us in verse 11, you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And he reminds us, and such were some of you, but you have been washed. So, if it had not been for God's mercy, we would not be here to, be put in the situation to help drag somebody else out of hell's fire. And that's what the Lord says, snatch them out of hell's fire. You know, sometimes that's exactly what it takes. A testimony of where God has brought us from. You know, because when you go and you start talking to people and you say, well, you know, you ought to come to church. You ought to be, you know,
mm-hmm.
accept the Lord's call. But why? Why should I do that? You have to give people a reason. You have to give people a desire to want God to change their life. And I think sometimes that's what's missing in our testimonies to people. We don't give them our testimonies.
Well, I remember when I was driving city bus, and I think I told you about this, there was a guy on there in the back, and I talked to Christians on there, and after a while, I didn't even think about it that much, you know. But this guy in the back, he said, all of a sudden, he says, why do I need to be saved? Saved from what?
There you go, yeah.
And I couldn't think of anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my brain just went blank because I hadn't answered a basic question like that for a long time. So, I came to find out he got back on the bus maybe a year later, and he had gotten saved.
Okay.
And I said, so what went on? He said, well, my dad was an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forget what he said, what happened, how he ended up, his dad ended up getting saved, and his dad led him to Christ. And, I said, you know, I had to think about what I would say to somebody if they said, what are we saved from? Well, we're saved from sin. We're saved from the fallen world. And the only, like Jesus said, he is the only way that we can be saved, according to the Word of God, you know. And so, he sure caught me off guard. But I don't think I was supposed to answer that question. I think his dad was supposed to answer that question, you know.
But, you know, that's something else we fail. We're supposed to be always ready to give an answer.
Yeah.
When people ask us where our hope comes from, you know, I'm just saying, Christians, let's get it. Those who believe in Christ Jesus, let's get up on our game, because your testimony and the life that you live is the most powerful witness you can give to anyone. It just is. What has God saved you from?
Yes. I think there's a lot of churches where you've got people in there that I don't think they are saved. But they don't see any reason for them to change, you know, or allow change to come into their life. And so if you talk to them, they don't like evangelicals, because evangelicals might rock their boat a little bit, you know.
And not only that, they watch your life too.
Yeah.
That's another testimony, is the life that you live in front of other people.
Yeah.
You know, you may say one thing and do another. And then they look at the church as hypocrites. And they put us all in this category together. Well, they're just hypocrites. You know, they say this and do the opposite. You know, so we have to be men and women of our word.
I remember when I thought, before I got saved, I thought Christians were a hindrance to progress. You know, they were anti-science, anti-progress with engineering and all that, you know, and if we followed their way of thinking, we would still be riding horses, stuff like that. After you get saved, you realize that it's just not true. You know, there's lots of Christians who are scientists and engineers and astronauts and doctors. So, but it takes stepping into the kingdom of God to realize those things, you know.
Yes, it does. It really does.
I realize that we're not perfect.
Well, sometimes we may think so. Sometimes we can be up in the glory of God so long, and I'm just, you know, your mind may go there. I mean, because we're not. There must be a reason for God to talk to us the way that He does.
What do you mean?
Just like what Paul was saying. Don't forget where God brought you from. Don't forget that you were in this upper category that we just called liars and whoremongers, or whatever we may have been before God called us. And that's just saying there's nothing too hard for God.
That's true.
You're not going to be God's first failure, and He will not allow you to be His first failure. That means He will bend down and pick you up from wherever you are and place you into what Jeff was talking about last hour, the miracle of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing you from the old man to the new man.
Yeah.
In Christ Jesus. That is the miracle of salvation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Even your very nature, your mouth, your walk, right?
Mm-hmm.
The work of your hands, the territory that your feet travel upon.
There is a scripture here, Hebrews chapter 6, 4 through 6. Now, this scripture has been a lot of controversy around it. People interpret it different ways. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good work of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to open shame. I've heard that interpreted to be, because, you know, God can save a backslider. He can bring you out of backsliding. And so it was hard to figure out what this meant, but apparently back in when the Jews were first introduced to the gospel, they still had a lot of problems, of course, with people wanting to go back to the law.
Mm-hmm.
And this is saying that, you know, you can't be renewed by the old ways.
No, you cannot.
You know, you have to come to Christ and let the Holy Spirit renew you. You know, so. But, you know, I'm not saying it's okay to backslide.
No.
You know, but everybody does. Most everybody backslides at some time or other in their Christian walk, you know. It's just the way it happens.
But, you know, God says, be not conformed to this world. Do not continue to wrap yourselves around the things of this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will know what is the good and perfect will of God, acceptable will of God. So that's why we have to keep moving with the flow of God. We can't go back. We have to keep moving forward because God is moving forward.
Well, that's why I don't believe in once saved, always saved, is because there's a warning there that, you know, don't play with it. You know, don't play with your salvation. Don't purposely backslide just to see if God's going to pull you back out of it, you know. Well, we have 2 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 20. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than in the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But as has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So, yes, you're right, we have to go with the flow. You know, if God comes along and you're kind of laying around, and you've been in a holding pattern for a long time.
Right.
God comes along and wakes you up and says, okay.
Right, let's go. Get
okay,
up.
I got something for you to do here. It's time to get up.
Right.
You know?
That's so true.
You know, don't be, you know, I'm too fat, Lord. I'm too tired.
Right. That's so true.
You don't want to do that because you just end up bored out of your mind for the rest of your life, you know.
Right. And that takes me back to the scripture that you first read, John 11 and verse 40. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, we get into unbelief, even as believers. I mean, like you said, we're not perfect.
Yeah.
We fall short of the glory of God every day.
Yeah.
You know, so when you read that, I heard that as a rebuke. That can also be a rebuke.
Mm-hmm.
Did I not tell you?
Yeah.
He told Martha this. That if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And that's when he went and raised Lazarus from the dead.
Yes.
And that's what he does to us. Because that old man is, even though we're still in the flesh, it's that old sin nature that he resurrects us from to the new nature of God. By receiving him as our Lord and Savior from sin. I've heard that as a rebuke before because I had doubt about some things I believe God had told me.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, doing my daily devotions, you know, which I try to do, you know, in the mornings. And I ran across that. Did I not tell you that if you believe,
well, really, no, it's an encouragement.
And that too, but it hit my heart like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
There was some unbelief there. That's what he's letting you know. There was some unbelief there, just like with Martha. There was some unbelief there. If you had been here, is that what she told him? Well, my brother would not have died. If you had been here, I wouldn't be still sitting here looking at four walls. If you had been here, and this is what we're saying.
You know, we don't know the will of God.
No.
You've got to let him do what he wants to do.
Or his timing, like you said. Or his timing. So, yes, it's encouragement, and it can also be a rebuke, especially if God has promised you something.
Mm-hmm.
And you first believed that it promised you, and then now you're like, well, I don't know. I don't guess it's going to happen, you know.
It's been a long time.
Right. I guess I'll think about something else. You know, maybe I'll go a different way. You know, and then we start, you know, looking toward our own strengths and our own works in our own life, you know, and that's sometimes is the wrong road.
He can bring you back though too.
Yeah. Oh well, how many chances do he give us?
Thousands.
You can't count them, can you?
Yeah.
Can't count them.
That's true.
So don't think if you come to church, the walls are going to fall in.
Yeah. I've heard preachers say that people tell them that if I come to church, the church will just collapse.
That's not true.
You know?
That's not true.
I don't know where in the world they get that idea.
Oh, they think that they are the worst sinner. Well, Paul said he was the worst of all. He was not worthy to even be called a disciple of Christ. You know, he did. Because he was persecuting the Christians, you know, putting God's people to death for their faith. And you just read about the law. Why are you trying to go back to the law? The law did not save you. Christ came and saved you from the law.
Yes.
So, I'm just really encouraged this morning. I feel the Spirit of God leading us and guiding us. And I just pray that those of you who are listening are really getting something out of the miracle of salvation, which Jeff and I are talking about this morning.
Got Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And needeth hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and ye shall that ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even unto the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Yea, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
And what does Psalms 46 and 10 say?
Be still and know that I am God, and I will exalt. And I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth.
Read again.
Be still and know that I am God.
Be still. Mm-hmm. And know that I am God. I am not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should have to repent from anything that I told you I would do for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like he raised Lazarus from the dead.
Yeah, was he supposed to apologize to everybody because he didn't prevent Lazarus from dying in the first place?
Well, they wanted
it. No, he had a purpose.
Yes, he did. He had a purpose.
And he let Lazarus be dead for a while so that they'd know that it was by the power of God he was raised from the dead.
Yes, by the power of God.
So they wouldn't have any doubts about that.
Yes.
I have stuff that God has promised me for the future that haven't happened yet. And sometimes I get kind of discouraged. But he used to give me big encouragements about that, and then he kind of faded out from that because he wants you to just believe.
Right, to hold on to what he last told you. And, you know, that is so prevalent amongst us as people because we want what we want when we want it.
Yeah.
We don't want to wait, you know. We just want it right now, you know, and a lot of times we're not ready for it right now.
Yeah.
God has to prepare us for what he wants to give us, and he has to prepare what he wants to give us.
Yeah, right? He's doing things out there.
Right. He's
to prepare the way.
Right. He's preparing them, and he's preparing you, or it may be about money. You know, money comes when God says, okay, here you go. I see you're suffering and struggling over there, trying to pay your bills. Here's a gift for you. You know, money comes from places you wouldn't even expect sometimes, you know.
Like,
but it's there, right? What about your health and how he healed you and raised you up out of that hospital? And here you are sitting here right now.
Yeah.
You know?
I collapsed. I was just leaving my bathroom and got up to the door, and the power in my legs just went out.
Yeah.
I had no power to stand, and I just collapsed in there, and it took me a long time to crawl out of the bathroom into the living room to the where my cell phone was on my coffee table.
Yeah.
And eventually got there to call the paramedics. But it took a long time.
Right.
To get there. But God allows us to struggle.
Yes, he does.
Sometimes,
he does.
To strengthen us.
How else will he get the glory if we don't go through anything? See, yes. We think it's supposed to be a road of just being perfect and nothing going wrong anymore. But God
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes, he came to save us from the fear.
We don't like going through all those trials.
No. And he came to save us from the fear and terror of death. He also came to save us from sickness and disease, like in your case, like in my case, you know, and I had that lung cancer, you know. He was there for me. I would have never thought I would have had cancer, which was one of the deadliest cancers that you could get. It was one cell, that's what they call it, one cell cancer, and in the lungs. Which you don't find too many people. Back in those days, like 20 years ago, you didn't find too many people who survived that type of lung cancer.
I had an aunt that died from that lung cancer.
Yeah,
her lungs filled up with water.
Wow. See, my mother...
When I was a kid.
Yeah, she had it, and it went to her brain, you know. And when we found out that she even had lung cancer, she didn't even last 90 days. And here I am with this same lung cancer. You know, but he saved me from sickness. He saved me from that disease. He used a doctor to do it, but still, it was done. You know, if God had not given him the know-how to perform that surgery, and he acknowledged God. He said, I believe God chose me for this task, and I know exactly how I'm going to do it.
Well, I had people coming up to me in church. You know, they kept me in the hospital for about 17 days, and... They were trying to figure out some way to send me to a rest home for about 90 days or so to do some more recovery, and couldn't get it together with somebody to fund it. So that was like in the middle of the week, and I said, and the social worker that was trying to help me, she was really good.
Mm-hmm.
She's a very good social worker. She was she knew her stuff. And she was trying to get me on Medicare so I could get put in the nursing home. And I said, I don't know, I'm sitting there thanking God that it didn't work out because I wanted to go home.
Right.
So I said, well, Friday I'm going home. I'm thankful for the laws that we have in the books right now, whereas you can just get up and walk out of a hospital if you want to.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to stay there.
Nope.
You know, you can just get up and walk out, which I did a couple of times at Marion General.
But you were able to walk out. You didn't leave the same way you was brought in. You know, you was able.
It was hard, though.
I'm sure it was.
You know, and when I first got out of the cab and I went up to my enclosed porch there, when I went inside, I tripped over something. I thought I was going to go flying. And I thought, oh, dear, maybe I should go to rehab, you know. But I went in the house and... Slowly but surely, I got my strength back. You know, so I thought that this sickness I went through was of Satan. You know, I'm pretty sure it was.
Well, yes.
Sometimes that happens.
Yeah, and that goes back to Job and also Paul. He said, you know, I was given this thorn in my flesh that the enemy would buffet me, you know, and he even talked about turning certain people over to Satan, you know, and.
Yeah.
Because he has his purpose too. He works for God. He does. He works for God. And you know, going back to the scripture in John chapter 11, when you said that someone you talked to asked you why did they need to be saved, and we're talking about that also, sickness and disease, obstacles. You know, like we're on a obstacle course. God delivers us from these different obstacles that we come up against, right? He also delivers us from the oppression of the enemy, the devil, Satan himself, you know. And there's a time and a place for that we are oppressed. We are oppressed of the enemy by God's permission. And he will remove that. Okay, and this one here, chains that bind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, when God called Lazarus out of that grave, and Lazarus came bound in grave clothes, and what did he say? Loose him.
Yeah.
Let him loose. I love that scripture. Oh, my. I love that scripture.
Give him something to eat.
Oh, my God. Loose him. Take off those grave clothes. And that's what he's saying to those people who receive him as their Lord and Savior from sin. Satan, take your hands off right now.
Yeah.
Loose them.
Yes.
Woo, isn't that powerful?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my. Lord, I just thank you for loosing me.
I remember this guy was talking on the radio about, I don't know what illness came over him, but he ended up in ICU. And just about croaked. And over a period of time, only about 2 weeks, he was up and walking. And about the third week, he went home.
Amen.
And he was that close to death.
Amen.
Before.
Praise God. Amen. He said, loose him. Get your hands
off.
You're done what I have allowed you to do. It's over now.
Well, I went to church after I got up. And I said, I'm going home. Friday.
Right.
I went home and I went to church that Sunday, and there were a couple of guys that came over to my house when I was crawling around the floor trying to get up in a chair or get up on the couch, and I couldn't do it.
Yes.
I just didn't have the strength that, you know, can imagine being that low on energy. He said, my gosh, man, he was one of the people who was trying to lift me up so I could get in a chair. He said, now you're out here walking around. He said,
mm-hmm.
How'd you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he should know. He's a Christian, you know. He should know. But I guess he'd never been through that before. But I've heard people talking about it, that they had miraculously recovered from the worst.
You hear about it, but you never you don't feel
it
that
don't
you
really
witnessed.
Sink in.
Right. You witness this. You have to witness it yourself. And you witnessed. And he saw God's power in your life and how you were out walking.
Yes.
Yeah, that was
pretty
powerful.
Amazing.
It was amazing because you were at the point where you were giving up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and God gave you His promise. Did not I tell you?
Well, I was
you
close to ending up in a rest home.
Yeah. Yeah, you were.
You know, and that's the last place I want to be.
But God said, no, not yet.
Yep.
No, not yet. Loose him. Isn't that powerful?
It is. It is.
So powerful. Wow.
And you don't even know how he does it or when he does it, you know.
No. And besides,
he just passes his hand over you.
Right. But and besides that, I am the resurrection.
Yeah.
And the life.
Well, that hit me when I was reading that.
I know.
I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead,
yet
shall he live. I found out a couple of times that he meant what he said.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I've witnessed that firsthand.
I remember one time when I was on the streets, Mike and I got arrested for, they thought we had burned this garage down. And so they had us in jail under suspicion. And I was really, really scared. I was really worried. And I said, Lord, please get us out of this. We didn't do that anyways, you know. And the police came to the door and said, Porter, Ziprich, come here. And they took us to the window and gave us our stuff back and kicked us out.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, man, what a relief. I went home after that.
I tell you, it's been a glorious time today.
Yes,
with God and you and being on the air, and God just wants His people to know and understand. Just like He says, I am. There's
the
only one person that says I am. The great I am. Yahweh. I am the resurrection and the life.
Just like He said that to Moses. You know, when I tell the people, the Israelites, because they hadn't even heard God's name.
Right.
He said, who shall I say has sent me?
Right.
And he said, I am that I am.
Ooh.
Thus thou shalt say it to the children of Israel, I am has sent me.
Yes.
I was, I am, and I always will be.
Always will be. Whatever you need me to be. And who can stop me? Oh, I love that too. These are just some things God says in the scripture, like Isaiah. I do what I want. And who can stop me?
Yeah.
No one.
No.
Let me move out of the way, even if I thought I could stop you, Lord. No.
Well, people ask the question, you know, there's this guy at work, and I'll never convince him of this. But I was talking about Mount St. Helens being a last days thing when it exploded. I remember being at home. I hadn't been saved very long.
You remember? You realize that's been 40 years ago?
Yeah. I hadn't been saved very long, and Mount St. Helens was smoking. And finally exploded. And I said, I believe that was a last days warning. And judgment. And my friend said, yeah, but, you know, God, he aims wide. I mean, he killed some kids, stuff like that. And I said, you know, I know you're going to hate my answer to that, but God is God, and he has power over life and death. He's not held down by the same morality as we as human beings are. And if he decides that he's going to make a mountain explode and people are going to die, that's the way it's going to be. You know, and there's nothing that we can do about it. But, you know, it's tragic. And to us, it's horrible. But it won't do any good to point your finger at God, because he's free of all condemnation.
Now, where is Mount St. Helen located?
I believe it's in Oregon.
Okay, I remember the darkness and the smoke traveled all the way to the East Coast.
Oh, yeah, it traveled all over the world.
Oh, my, that was something. I remember when it turned dark in our area, when it made its way to, like, Ohio.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it's amazing.
That much smoke. Come out of that thing?
Yeah, I remember that. How far away is that, Montana, from us?
Oregon.
How far away? Oh, that's way up in the corner of the United States.
Almost California.
Yeah, north of that, right? Up in the corner. Oh, my. That was a long... Well, over 2,000 miles, I'm sure.
Well, they're talking about Yellowstone's got is a big volcano underneath it. And if it ever goes off, that's the end of America.
Woo!
Know? Because the... Have you ever heard of Krakatoa? That was a volcanic island that exploded, I think, in the early 1900s. And scientists say that... And it when it exploded, the soot and the smoke killed people from hundreds of miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that was explosion was so powerful it could be equal to an atomic bomb. You know, so you don't want to underestimate Mother Nature.
Nature.
That's right. And what God has created.
Right, and God can deliver us from nature's threats. Yeah. Because that's what that is. That's a threat. From nature. This is a possibility that this can happen in our time.
Yeah.
You know, wow.
Well, mankind becomes, see, that's where God becomes concerned, because mankind becomes very arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've invented atomic bombs, and we've invented flying machines, and we've invented, you know, super medicine. Now, I found out, I didn't even know it, but till a couple years ago that, medical science had discovered a cure for leprosy. Now you can take a regimen of pills. I asked my doctor when I was last in his office, I said, so how does that work? He said, well, you take a regimen of pills for about a year and gets rid of it. That's a heck of a lot better than what it used to be.
I didn't know people still got leprosy.
Oh, yeah, it's still there in Asia.
Okay.
South America, places like that, you know, where, especially in India.
Wow.
This doctor was from India, and he used to give people pills for leprosy.
Okay.
But leprosy was always a disease that scares me. You just think about your nose falling off, and, you know, it numbs your limbs. You know, you don't feel anything, so you could stick your hand right in a fire or in some hot water or cold something, you know, and never feel it because it destroys those nerves.
Mm.
That's why people end up deformed and stuff when they have leprosy, you know.
Right.
Because you don't feel anything.
Wow. Mm-mm-mm.
But mankind becomes very arrogant. I think science has made us that way more than anything. You know, well, science can fix it, you know. And scientists will tell you, we can't fix everything.
True.
You know, we can only fix what we can fix.
You're right. You're right about that.
If they could fix everything, then they could cure death.
Well, they'd be God if they could fix everything, and they are not. We start out the show with that. They are not God. They are just man.
Yeah.
And God gives them the know-how, the wisdom.
Gives them the talent.
Yes, to do what he wants them to do, when he wants them to do it.
Yeah.
Because every surgery is not a success.
That's true.
Well, at least not what we would consider a success.
Would you want to be a surgeon?
No, but I know one. I know a good surgeon. I've seen God raise people from the dead, their sick bed.
Yeah.
I've seen it. And I've prayed for some, you know. And I reminded him, you are the resurrection and the life. Resurrect what has died in this person.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've seen him do it. I have seen him do it, Jeff.
Sometimes God heals things miraculously.
Blows
so
you away.
No medicine has to be done. Or sometimes you have to take pills and go through surgery, you know. It's really different. He does it different ways. But he definitely is the one that gave those people that talent.
I do want you to pray for people who are listening, and remind them of the miracle of salvation. I pray that the Lord calls many into the fold.
Okay.
Jeff's going to pray.
Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. I just ask for those who are in hospitals and nursing homes that have what the doctors think is incurable. And I pray that you would heal those people, Lord, and bring them hope. Bring people across their path that will pray for them in person, Lord God, and bring righteousness to them. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might have the righteousness of God in us. And that's a lot of times what we need more than anything, is to realize that God has forgiven us for all of our sins. And he doesn't heal us of our infirmities and our diseases and stuff because we deserve it. He does it because of his grace, unmerited favor. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So don't think that you have to be Mr. Perfect Righteous in order to receive a healing. You can receive a healing just right in the condition you're in.
Amen.
Right now. And I read about a guy that was a nuclear physicist.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.